At Public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high-yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's higher than Robinhood, SoFi, Wealthfront, Capital One, and the big banks, too. Ready to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash? Check out the high-yield cash account on Public.com. This is paid for by Public Investing. 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A high-yield cash account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
Big news! One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. So please, give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate. All right, I'm just going to say it. Small businesses don't get enough love around here. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Tuesday today, the 12th of December. Good as always to have you along. Two data points with which to begin the next half an hour in our shared economy. Data point number one is that small businesses, defined by the Small Business Administration as those companies with less than 500 employees, those small businesses account for 2 out of every 3 new jobs in this economy. And that gets us to point number two, for reasons which I hope will become clear. The National Federation of Independent Businesses, you should think small when you hear independent, that group was out with its Small Business Optimism Index today, and they were less so last month than they were in October. They're pessimistic about sales and about business conditions overall. At the same time, though, more of them are spending money on capital equipment and fewer of them said they raised prices. So, toss up? Marketplace's Justin Ho spent his day on the phone with a couple of small business owners to get a little ground truth.
Earlier this year, Randy George bought a new dough dividing machine for his bakery and cafe in Vermont called Red Hen Baking Company. He also bought another machine that lifts the dough into the divider.
We invested more in new equipment this year than we have ever, in fact.
George says it helps that bread sales have been fairly strong, but he's also raised wages 7.5% this year. So he hopes the new equipment will help the business become more efficient to ensure that Red Hen Baking Company will stick around in the long run.
You figure out how to survive when you're running a small business. So I just see this as all part of that.
I asked George if that big investment means he's feeling optimistic about the economy, and he said he's not sure. Heather Whaling, the founder of the Ohio-based PR company Gebbin Communication, doesn't really know how she feels either.
My level of optimism or pessimism changes by the day and sometimes probably by the hour.
Whaling says her business is doing a lot better than it was last year. Back then, she says many of her clients didn't want to spend much on marketing because they were nervous about a possible recession. But Whaling says business hasn't exactly roared back either.
There's still a level of trepidation and concern, but businesses aren't reacting as strongly maybe to the fear. There's just more caution.
There are some reasons to be hopeful about business in the new year, says Jennifer Nisgoda. She runs a company called Alfresco near San Diego that puts on catered events and operates a specialty market. Nisgoda says sales at the market are doing all right.
I think we're already seeing an uptick like with the holiday season.
But Nisgoda says the event side of her business has not been doing so well. So she's winding it back and investing more time and money into the brick and mortar store.
For the moment, that's our main focus because we see that as like the nucleus of the business. And from there, the energy, the events, everything else can grow out of there. But we need that solid foundation.
Nisgoda says that's something she's learned throughout the last year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Inflation, I guess, is the third data point of the day. Cooler in November, prices were up 3.1% year over year. That's compared to a 3.2% annual reading in October. It's progress. The biggest factor driving inflation last month, as it has been for a while now, was shelter. Housing, both rent and what economists call owner's equivalent rent, is still going up, as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
How much you think about the cost of housing probably depends on whether you own a home. About two-thirds of American households do, and Chris Mayer at Columbia Business School says most of them now have a mortgage rate that's under 4%. So chances are,
if you're an owner, you're facing very low housing costs.
Which is great for a lot of people, but he says maybe not for everyone.
For many owners, they're also kind of locked into their home.
Because who wants to give up a 3 or 4% mortgage for one that's 7 or 8%, especially when home prices have also gone up?
And so that dynamic, I think, has a lot of people feeling like housing is a burden on them.
For people who don't own a home yet, the burden is even bigger. Rents have gone up almost 30% just in the last few years, much more than incomes. And with home prices and mortgage rates also way up, buying a house has gotten increasingly unaffordable. A recent study from Redfin found it's now cheaper to rent than buy in almost every major metro area in the country. Cameron LaPointe at the Yale School of Management says that's hard for a lot of people to hear.
If you tell people that, you know, they're more likely to be better off renting versus owning, it feels a little bit like a dream of theirs has been closed off to them.
Which never feels good. Eric Lund at the Conference Board says all of that is a big piece of the psychological puzzle right now, but it's not the only one.
We saw food prices and energy prices, especially earlier in the year, have a big impact. People notice that right away. You know, when you're buying your groceries on a weekly basis or filling up your car, that's a pretty big psychological component of inflation too that people feel.
And while gas prices have come down, food and housing remain stubbornly high. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
All of that said, on Wall Street today, traders were kind of in a good mood going into Jay Powell's press conference tomorrow. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. There are, give or take, 1.6 million realtors working in this economy right now. That's from the National Association of Realtors. And they're all paid pretty much the same way, a 5 or a 6% commission on the purchase price split between the seller's agent and the buyers. I mention that because that commission's model, which has been around for decades, may well be changing with attendant concerns from realtors about what it would mean for their bottom lines. A federal jury, you might remember this, decided at the end of October that the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and some big brokerages had colluded to keep those commissions artificially high. As Marketplace's Matt Levin reports, appeals are pending, but there's a whole wave of other litigation out there as well.
Realtor Barb LeBrecht is giving me a tour of a 10-acre property she recently sold in Garden Valley, a town of a few thousand people in California's Sierra Nevada foothills.
So come on in. We have a wraparound deck here.
Squint past the seafoamy paint job, and the hillside home looks like something out of a Vrbo ad for a weekend rural getaway.
So I actually wore boots the last time I was here because I was worried about rattlesnakes.
Oh.
We don't have that. We're in December now. City Slicker, we're in December. You're okay.
Rattlesnakes weren't the only hazard LeBrecht dealt with. She says there were squatters who refused to leave. One time a bull got loose from a neighbor's yard and just stood behind her Lexus. It took 2 years to sell the place. It's scheduled to close before year's end for around $500,000.
All that time, were you paid at all? Or...
Oh, no. No.
LeBrecht will get a 2.5% commission on the final purchase price, roughly $12,000. The buyer's agent gets the same, a total commission of 5%. Despite those 2 years of work she is only now about to get paid for, LeBrecht is a big fan of the commission model, and she's worried about change.
Among realtors, and especially, I would say, people that have been in the industry for just a few years, I think they feel that the sky is falling, and there's a little bit of panic.
It's a bit complicated, but the big takeaway from the Missouri case against the realtors is that it could basically empower home sellers to negotiate down commissions. The realtors maintain commissions have always been negotiable, but real estate finance professor Andra Genn at the University of Utah doesn't really buy that.
The realtor education teaches realtors against going into a listing agreement that has less than 5%.
Genn says the commission model doesn't really work well for buyers either, because the more a home costs, the more the buyer's agent gets paid.
Realtors have a really big incentive to push home buyers into the most home that they can qualify for a mortgage on. And for a lot of home buyers, this is just not the right decision.
Nate Johnson at the National Association of Realtors says good agents are more concerned with getting repeat clients than marginally bumping up commissions.
When we look at the sort of pennies and tens of dollars that may result in me encouraging you to pay more for a property as opposed to less, it's just not worth it.
He says an advantage of the current model is that buyers are effectively paying their realtor through their mortgage. If they have to pay out of pocket, many buyers might just risk making the biggest purchase of their lives without expert help, which is actually how lots of other countries do it.
It's hard to make a comparison to the United States. I don't know exactly what real estate looks like in terms of if there is fair and equal treatment in terms of buyers in the market. There may not be.
Commissions in most other countries are significantly lower than in the U.S. In the U.K., total commissions are on average about 1.5% of the home price. Charlie Lambden has been in the U.K. real estate business for 20 years. He has a YouTube channel tracking the latest trends.
So buyers will just call the listing agent and say, I'd like to view that property, please. And if they like it, the buyer will make an offer to that agent. The buyers generally don't have representation.
But Lambden says there is a downside. The closing process in the UK is apparently kind of a nightmare.
But over here, it's currently an average of 5 months. That's how bad it is.
Lambden says American real estate agents have it much better off than their British counterparts, at least for now. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
You, I promise, will be better off if you listen to the Marketplace Morning Report. David Brancaccio, Sabri Benishour, and the gang get out of bed real early every day to get you the economic news you need. Had this happen, right? You're on your cell phone talking to somebody and the signal is terrible. Whatever's being said is garbled or breaking up, and maybe even eventually the call just drops. If you think this has been happening more of late, it has. Alana Samuels is chief economic correspondent at Time Magazine, writing most recently about our cell phone troubles. Alana, good to have you back on again.
Thanks for having me.
So as I said in the introduction, we've all had this feeling when you're on a call and it goes away or you can't actually get a call made on your cell phone. Why is this getting worse?
Isn't that so frustrating?
Yeah.
There's kind of the easy answer and the hard answer. The easy answer is basically that we're just using a lot more data, and that has to travel over these electromagnetic waves, and we're all kind of competing for space on those waves. That's kind of the easy answer.
Okay, give me the hard answer. I'm a little afraid.
The hard answer is a little bit wonky, but basically there are all these frequencies on these waves. So there's kind of high frequency waves and low frequency waves. And the low and mid band on the waves, it can go really far. So think about how your AM radio, you can probably hear it in another state. But that's all taken up. That's really crowded. And so carriers are buying this high band spectrum, and it just is not very good about getting around windows or walls. I actually had a Verizon person tell me that sitting in front of a window was actually not good for my reception. So as carriers are going to these higher band spectrums, the signal is having a harder time finding you if you're inside a building or on the other side of a mountain or really anywhere that is not the Great Plains.
It also happens, as you say in this piece, it happens in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, and it happens like out in the countryside too.
Yeah, that's kind of what made me do the story is our offices are right in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. You can't really get any more central, and you cannot make a cell phone call if you're off Wi-Fi. So I guess that's one other thing to bring up is if your listeners have Wi-Fi in their homes, that could be one way to get better cell reception in their homes.
All right. So look, this is not going to get any better because we're all getting more devices. The spectrum that's available is not growing because physics. What are cell phone companies and by extension, all the rest of us going to do?
Really, the only solution is to build more cell phone towers. Hmm. And that's not even really a solution because nobody really wants a cell phone tower in their backyard or in their kid's school or really anywhere. But it's really the only way forward. And so that's kind of what we're going to have to see unless we're willing to put up with worse reception, which I have a feeling most people are not willing to do that.
Yeah. The catch, of course, with building more cell phone towers is that it's capital investment. I mean, yes, they'll improve customer service, but they're going to have to spend a lot of money to do that, right?
That's right. And this is kind of why a lot of analysts have some doubts about wireless companies right now. They already spent a ton of money buying spectrum. So Verizon was forced to spend like $50 billion on mid-band spectrum in 2021. And so they're already spending a lot of money on spectrum. The idea of spending even more money on cell phone towers is not going to make analysts very happy.
Right. Is there one company that is worse than any others? I mean, without, you know, calling them out. Let's call them out.
Well, this is a very tricky question because they will get very angry at me. But there are a lot of studies that show that T-Mobile actually has the best low and mid-band spectrum. And OpenSignal, which is a mobile measurement app, gives them pretty big ratings. But if you say that to Verizon or AT&T, they will bite your head off. So let's just say OpenSignal says that and I didn't say it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Noting the data source. Alana Samuels at Time Magazine, cell phone customer too. Alana, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Coming up,
1,000 beautiful papers.
Hot off the presses. First, though, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrial's up 173 today, about 0.5%, 36,577 on the blue chips. The NASDAQ increased 100 points, 0.7%, 14,533. The S&P 500 gained 21 points, about 0.5%, 46,043. Heard from Smith Fields a minute ago about inflation and housing, so let us check in on some housing-related stocks. Zillow, that website where people gather to dream about and envy other people's property. Not that that happens at all in my house. Rose 3.75%. PulteGroup, one of the biggest home construction companies in the United States, was essentially flat. American Homes for Rent, which owns some 60,000 single-family homes across the country, lifted 0.8%. Sun Communities, which owns the land, utilities, and other infrastructure in mobile home and RV parks, declined 0.6%. Median sale price of a home in the United States this quarter, by the by, $431,000. That's according to the St. Louis Fed. 10 years ago, hang on to your hats, peeps, $265,000. You're listening to Marketplace.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/marketplace, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/marketplace now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/marketplace.
Big news. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. So please give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. This one is definitely from the You Gotta Spend Money to Make Money file. The discount retailer Dollar General says it's going to spend an extra $50 million to staff up its stores before the end of the year. Stores, to be clear, where it had been cutting labor costs by leaning on self-checkout stations. In an earnings call, the CEO told investors the company had started to rely too much on the technology and that they should be using self-checkout as a secondary checkout vehicle, not a primary. That's a quote. Dollar General is the latest in a growing list of retailers, including Walmart and Target and Costco, pulling back on that self-service option. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino checks it out.
To be sure, some customers prefer self-checkout. It can be quicker and more convenient, says management professor Rita McGrath at Columbia.
But the dilemma is eventually you get to the end of what you can do in an automated way, because that has to be very routine, right?
And it doesn't take much to trip up the automation.
I mean, it's a robot, right? It doesn't know what it's doing.
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
Please rescan. The bag isn't there. Did you put it in your bag?
Please remove the item before continuing.
By now, I'm frustrated.
And that frustration is becoming routine as more parts of the customer experience become automated, says analyst Craig LeClaire at Forrester.
The pandemic pushed us down a digital transformation path that was so accelerated that there will be kind of a tech lash.
What started as a necessity due to COVID risk turned into a cost-cutting strategy in the face of rising labor costs. But before companies substitute human workers with self-service kiosks or chatbot customer service agents, there's a question they should be asking, says Zeynep Tone, a professor at MIT Sloan School of Management.
Can this improve value for the customer? And would this improve productivity for employees and make their jobs better so that they can serve the customers much better too?
She says it's often hard to quantify the true cost of frustrated customers and overburdened staff. But one loss that's easier to add up is theft. Tone says that's estimated to be up to 5 times higher at self-checkout stations. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
The death of local news, maybe long, slow terminal illness is a better description, has been a well-reported story over the past decade or more. It's bad news for journalism, it's bad for those communities, and in the long run, it's bad for democracy. And it's especially bad in print. Years of corporate cost-cutting have stripped local newspapers and left people, especially those in rural parts of the country, less informed. But one small paper, one very small paper in southern New Mexico is bucking that trend. Marketplace's Savannah Marr brings us a rare story of growth in print media.
The Deming Headlights office shares a downtown block with a barber, a hearing aid supplier, and a quinceañera dress shop. In the wee hours of the morning, Nick Seibel is there to deliver the Friday edition.
1,000 beautiful papers.
On the front page is a photo of a beaming 11-year-old entrepreneur from Deming who sells pastries.
Who is in a national competition, the Cake Boss contest.
Plus, stories about an ethics complaint against a local politician, high school sports.
We've got, girls basketball, boys basketball, wrestling.
The twice-weekly headlight is actually printed in Sierra Vista, Arizona, then trucked to a midway point where Seibel picked up the papers this morning. It's not even 4 a.m., and he's driven over 200 miles because his delivery guy is out sick.
Stuff like this happens a lot, and I often think, man, it would be amazing if I could just be a publisher.
Seibel says he bought the Deming headlight for cheap from its corporate owner, Gannett, in October of 2022. He's been running it alongside another small-town southern New Mexico paper, the Silver City Daily Press, which he's owned for about a decade.
I thought going in, you know, I did this with the Daily Press. Like, I know what I'm getting into.
He did not know what he was getting into. Under Gannett, the Deming headlight had become what Seibel calls a ghost paper. No physical newsroom, just one local reporter covering a town of around 15,000 people.
Newspapers are a habit. It's part of your day. You know, it's part of the rhythm of your life.
And a lot of Demingites had ditched that part of their routine.
I was probably on the verge of becoming a non-subscriber when it sold.
Longtime subscriber Linda Cooper saw improvement under the new local owner, and the news staff grew to three. She wanted to show her support, but
I hadn't gotten a bill since it had changed ownership.
So she stopped by the downtown office to pay up. The staff told her they were behind and needed someone to manage billing and subscriptions.
I said, I ran a bank for 40 years. I can answer a phone. So that's what I did.
Deming Headlight, this is Linda. Can I help you?
But subscription sales are just part of the headlight's revenue picture.
You know, we're trying to bring back the advertisers that were lost with Gannett.
General Manager Debbie Troyer tries to convince local businesses that in a place like Deming, print is not dead.
We have a lot of seniors, you know, they like to hold the paper. And we happen to live in a county where a lot of people don't have internet coverage.
Here's the other part of Troyer's sales pitch. She says this town, just 30 miles north of the U.S. border with Mexico, needs a local news source.
We're a border town. Things happen down here. I mean, if you have a friend that's a Democrat and you're a Republican, you know that you're both getting polar opposite information on Facebook. If you want the truth, you need to support the paper.
This past September, as the headlight was closing in on a year under local ownership, publisher Nick Seibel says subscription and ad sales had grown, but not enough.
The people of Deming need to at least know. Otherwise, they're just going to wake up one morning, the paper's not going to show up, and that's not a fair thing to do to anyone.
He wrote a column warning that the paper was going under.
There was a big outpouring of support.
The headlight started hitting its break-even ad sales number every week. It went from 250 subscribers to 400.
And anytime you can say you're growing subscriptions at a newspaper in 2023, that's a good thing to be able to say.
Seibel says revenue isn't where it needs to be, but it's moving towards sustainability. In Deming and a lot of small towns, he says there's still a place and a market for a community newspaper. In Deming, New Mexico, I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
This final note on the way out today, perhaps the first obvious result of the Hollywood strikes of a couple of months ago. One of the conditions of that strike, or settling it actually, was that streaming services would reveal viewer data, heretofore not revealed. Netflix, anyway, did it today. For the first half of the year, the political thriller The Night Agent was the most watched show globally, 812.1 million hours of viewing. Season 2 of Ginny and Georgia was number 2. The Glory, which is a South Korean series, was number 3. I clearly am a loser because I've seen none of those three. Our digital and on-demand team, not losers, they've probably seen them all, include Carrie Barber, Dylan Mieten, and Janet Wynn, Olga Oxman, Ellen Rolfes, Virginia K. Smith, and Tony Wagner. Francesca Levy is the executive director of Digital and On-Demand. I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.